Location, location, location. It's clearly an important factor in choosing where to set up business. One factor of location, especially in work environments that are primarily outside, is the weather. The effects of weather on work performance is pretty straightforward, especially when you consider how extreme weather conditions can disrupt operations. But to what extent does weather affect the mood and the health of individuals? And how might that affect one's choices of where to work? My name is Tom Galvin, and these are my reflections on management. Now, I've thought about this quite a bit, reflecting on all of the various places that I've been stationed around the world. Obviously, in military contexts, service members don't always get a choice on where they are stationed. But often the system may give them some voice of where to go. And certainly the topic of where you're going to be stationed next is common conversations, because when you move or expected to move every 2 to 3 years, and sometimes even more often than that, where you go next is a big part of the discussion. And it's not just about yourself, but also if you're married, have children, it becomes an important factor. And sometimes, in extreme cases, you know, the requirement to move to a very unfavorable location can influence whether or not someone stays in the military. Or consider any other organization that is distributed and that has a culture that suggests a routine rotation of personnel as a means of promoting diversity in views and diversity of experiences, and as a mandatory element of career advancement. Sometimes, you know, folks wind up competing very hard to get into the plum locations. And the perception that one is going to something other than a plum location is, you know, the perception of that being a career derailer is definitely out there. Now, for this episode, I am going to focus very specifically on weather, because when I look at, for example, websites, blog posts, and think back on my own experiences, there's no question that weather had a big part in determining the differences between the preferred locations and the not preferred locations. I'm definitely not going to name places because I do not wish to add to anything to the discourse except for the phenomena that exists. My experience was that even in places that were perceived to be undesired, there really was a lot of good there if one was willing to find it. And I wouldn't want to promote an idea or further an idea that, you know, certain places are better than others, because they all have their benefits. So I encourage you to go ahead and Google what others have said about specific locations. Again, I'm going to avoid that and just focus on the phenomenon. I will say, however, that one place where I was stationed that was infamous for very, very long and powerful weather, winter storms. It was a place one time where I found myself in a 4th of July parade, and it snowed. And if you're in the United States, there are very, very few places that, you know, aside from the highest mountains that ever get snow in the middle, you know, at the beginning of July. That is the heat, the center of the summertime. So I've had my fair share of experiences in both preferred and not preferred locations. So when I look at the list and I reflect on the various places where I've been, I have found that there's definitely some factors that kind of weigh in when people are thinking about where they would want to be working. And from a weather perspective or a climate perspective. First was the temperature. You would kind of think that, you know, perhaps if you're going to be in a work environment where, you know, hotter is better than colder, it's not actually that simple. It's I found it to be more like warmer weather was favored over cooler weather, but hot weather wasn't appreciated either. And there are some locations where you could wind up in a sort of a jungle environment or whatever. And if you're not accustomed to that intensity of heat and humidity, it could be really rough when you're out doing outside work. The same is for, you know, anybody working on the outside in those environments. Drier was also kind of preferred over wetter, but again, not too dry. There is a tendency to prefer to think about desert climates as being a nice dry heat and tolerable. I spent 2 years in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, you know, there is a preference of dry heat over wet heat, but that has its limits too, because hot is hot no matter what you do. And then another factor about the climate is a preference for stable weather and not extreme weather. In the United States, we have places that are four seasons, and sometimes, you know, the four seasons can be a problem if the summers and the winters are a little bit too extreme. If you're in a place where the weather changes but doesn't change too much, that would seem to be preferred. Now, another one that isn't so much weather but is weather and climate related is a sense of being in the middle of things. And when we talk about, you know, places that are preferred, I found that they've all tended to have something nearby in which offers opportunities to go do something, like being near a beach, or being near a big city with stuff to do, or being near in the middle of, say, ski country. Obviously, those are climate related. The desire for a particular type of beach, which is one that that the public would find enjoyable, is better than, say, a beach where it's all rocks and ugly and not in good condition. So the opposite of that is this sense of being in the middle of nowhere, which I tend to find prevalent in flatter locations. Like if you're sort of in a flat place where there's no features, those and you look at sort of like the list that get denigrated, sometimes that's one of the problems, because you can kind of sense that you're in the middle of nowhere. And if the nearest, you know, city or garden spot or what have you is about an hour to an hour and a half drive away, that can be a deterrent. And sometimes even when you're in a great place, the great places can have somewhat of a downside too. For example, and I'll mention this place because this is very prevalent. You know, everybody would love to be stationed in Hawaii given other factors. However, even being stationed in Hawaii can have the downside of what we call island fever. If you get, a little bit too much of the same, and you are on an island very much isolated in the Pacific Ocean, going anywhere else is a flight of multiple hours. So that could be a downside. But still, again, you know, who wouldn't want to be in Hawaii, at least for a little while? The third factor that I find common is discussions about pollution and air quality. I mentioned, you know, hot and humid. There's also hot and humid to the point where you're contending with mold, where you're contending with bacteria, bugs, other things, which is not just an influence on one's mood. It can also be a health hazard, particularly for those who have sensitivity to issues of air quality. And pollution, no question, is a contribution of the weather. One time I was stationed in a place and lived near a factory that's the pollution, you know, the factory was a little further, a little bit of a distance, but the pollution, the smoke and stuff just simply floated over the base. And that, it, you know, even if it didn't make us sick, it definitely irritated us because we were either, you know, breathing the smoke. It smelled bad. It burned the eyes. You know, it's just not pleasant. Now, another factor that I know is a consideration for some organizations, but it is perhaps less of a consideration from conversations, you know, in my sphere, has to do with the prevalence of natural disasters. And I'm talking about floods, hurricanes, wildfires, earthquakes. Each of these, different parts of the United States, certainly experiences. Certainly there are some locations that experience them more than others. What I found odd, because I was stationed, for example, in California, in a location where earthquakes were fairly commonplace, and I experienced, like, I'd say a handful of tremors while I was there over a 2-year period. I found it interesting that it was almost treated like a badge of honor to be there and to overcome these. It was just otherwise overlooked because there were so many other good things going for the location. It was just sort of the thing that you, all right, you underwrote it, if you will. Yeah, okay, so you have an earthquake, but it's not really that big a deal. And sometimes in some locations, that sort of a hubris became important. We used to have bases in Iceland. And Iceland, of course, is known for fairly extreme cold weather. It's also very far north in the Arctic Circle. So if you weren't accustomed to extremely short winter days and accompanying very long winter nights, then it could be a bit disorienting for some. And so those aspects are sort of celebrated that you spend a couple of years up in the Arctic Circle and you overcame, if you will. That's not necessarily the case with all natural disasters. Certainly those who live or are stationed in places in the central U.S. where you have tornadoes, floods are not uncommon. Those can be pretty heady activities. And if you've experienced them, those who have experienced them often talk a lot about it and talk about how important it is to, if you're going to be at one of those kind of places, to basically prepare yourself, which can be mood affecting if you're, you know, again, if you're not accustomed to dealing with the potential for natural disasters. So in all of this, I think there's no question that climate is a determinant of one's mood and the way one assesses the desirability of working in a particular location that they are unfamiliar with, that they have never been to before. And it's certainly something that the organization cannot control. Obviously, if the organization chooses a location for economic reasons, political reasons, or something else, weather just is kind of, you know, part of the equation. And the organization takes the risk as to the extent to which the ones who would potentially seek employment are deterred by the climate issues. So now, you know, that a lot of what I talked about has to do with sort of the external climate. In modern times, of course, climate controlled environments are becoming more and more important because of technology and the desire to provide comfortable working spaces, regardless of what the weather is outside. Now, I find it interesting. I've followed up on this, and there's a lot of recent research. I'm going to highlight some of them on the website, which is suggesting that climate-controlled environments are actually a potential problem unto themselves, especially when we're talking about extreme climate control to overcome extreme environments that are on the outside. Nowadays, there is a tendency to have the outside really, really shut in, which of course, there's then the danger of climate controlled spaces becoming infested with bacteria and other pathogens. The impact on the health of people who are cooped up in an office space is becoming a concern because the more that you control the climate, because the weather itself is bad, the greater the potential hazards are. And especially the linkages are being shown with climate change. There's greater tendency for higher temperatures outside. And there's also greater prevalence of natural disasters. That drives even more need for climate control inside buildings, which then increases these other risks. And the last thing anybody would want is to be stuck in a problem building. So it's something that people are being concerned about, and it may very well come down to what extent does the climate control within a facility affect the organization's performance? Is this a factor of older buildings where perhaps the climate control has been appended to an existing structure, and therefore all of the problems of old buildings, such as dust, still in some cases asbestos, or you know other toxins that were in the old building, or even in the new buildings where a building is so built so tight that it becomes a breeding ground for problems like people who already have illnesses coming in, infecting the building, and then the building doesn't have the means to get rid of it. I think that in a time where we see greater mobility of the workforce, at times where people are going to be kind of expected to up and move more often, to go where the work is, these sort of factors are going to become important. And the rumors and urban legends that are going to arise because of understandings of the healthfulness of an area, of either a location or a particular building within a location, is going to become part of the conversation. So I do think that this is something that we should pay more attention to, and we have to figure out. But as far as the weather is concerned and the climate, obviously we are going to have to accept that that's going to continue to be a factor. And what we ought to consider is that the plum locations are going to continue to be the plum locations. And if we can't all get into a plum location, then what is it that we can control about the work environment and its integration with the location so that the not-so-plum locations can at least be reasonably attractive? What can we do to make do with nature? And that's all for now. The views expressed are my own and do not necessarily reflect those of the United States Army War College, the United States Army, or the Department of Defense. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.